Good morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's a Thursday, February 13th. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here, as always, on a Thursday, most of the time, with Jim Healy. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, good morning, Jack. It's just not any Thursday. It's a chilly Thursday.
It's a chilly Thursday morning. The cold weather advisory that began last night is still in effect until 10 a.m. today.
But then what's going to happen at 10 o'clock, Jack?
I don't know. Then what? Yeah, good question. I don't know. Okay. What do you think? It hits 15 degrees, and then they say, ooh, that's enough?
Or put on your sunscreen.
Yeah. I'll dive right into the weather. Should we do that?
Before? Well, first of all, did you drive down or bike?
I drove. Yeah.
I am like so coward. Disappointed.
I know.
When I drove down here at about 6:45 or thereabouts, I saw someone on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm. They're out there. The real heroes.
The ones who, you know, look outside that window and say, I am not intimidated.
Yeah.
My warm heart goes out to their frozen heart.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine that.
I considered it.
But you're a father.
I know. Yeah, you know, good point. It's the slickness of the road more than the cold that would be.
Okay.
Matt Dybel's here from The Hive, general manager, who's going to talk to us about what's going on over there, with the what's new at The Hive. And then at 8:30, we have
Preston visitors. Andrews from the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society.
Busy day today here.
And then we have, as usual, someone from Le Panada.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
Exhausted.
It'll be a big show this morning. But
cool. Good morning, Mac.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Did you pedal or drive?
Drive.
Three sane people in the studio at once. That's frightening.
I do have the forecast.
Lay it on us.
And I'm curious about what the cold weather advisory was. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But today it is going to be warming up to 25 degrees and then a 30% chance of snow. Tonight, the low is only 20 degrees.
How can that be?
In contrast to last night was zero, I think, and it was two or three for the last couple days. Tonight we're going to have an overnight low of 20 degrees and a 70% chance of snow. Tomorrow, Winter Carnival kicks off with an 80% chance of snow and a high of 28 degrees. Overnight low on Friday night, 18. Saturday, 29 and a 30% chance of snow. Saturday night, a 60% chance of snow overnight, and the low is 23. On Sunday, the high, 34 and a 90% chance of snow. So it looks like it's going to be very nice winter carnival weather.
If
you ask me.
The old joke with winter carnival was if you wanted to know when it would rain and warm up, when winter carnival would happen.
But I remember that.
This is new. This is good.
This is good news. Yes, this is a real wintry winter carnival. And I guess it's Mickey Quinn's last go-round, winter carnival queen. And so it'll be good for her to go out on kind of a high note weather-wise anyway. Things are lining up. The stars are aligning.
I'm going to give the weather for Washington, D.C., and while I do that, you can check and see what that advisory at 10 o'clock is.
Yeah.
You know, find out more information about that. Last Monday, my sister FaceTimed me. She lives in Arlington, Virginia, and held the phone up to the window, and it was snowing like crazy.
Hey.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And so we talked for a half hour or whatever, but I do this every Thursday with the magic of Alexa. She says to this little cylinder in her kitchen, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and she gets to hear this morning Mac and Jack and Jim. And so I give the weather. She says, weather 38 now, cloudy, high of 55 expected, a temporary burst of spring, the snow from Monday almost gone. I can't believe it. You know, and it's not gone because people shoveled it.
Yeah.
It's just gone. It was amazing. I mean, to see it, you know, it was even more than we have here.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. So that is the weather in the D.C. area. Did you find out what that?
Yes.
What it means?
It's just how cold it's. The cold weather advisory remains in effect until 10 a.m. and then it's over. It's not just how cold it was last night, but the wind chill. With the wind, the chills. Chills could have been last night anyway, as low as 10 to 15 below. And so the warning was just dress appropriately and avoid prolonged activity
exposure.
Out of doors.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yep. My cows changed color.
Your cows did?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, normally they're all black. And today I went out and they were all white. It was the weirdest thing. What? They were covered. They were covered in frost. It was kind of funny. I felt bad for them. I always feel bad for the animals in cold weather. But yeah, they were covered. Their hair was all frosty. But I'm sure they're going to warm up by 10 a.m.
By 10 a.m. They're counting on us. Yeah. Well, I had just a joyous day at our bird feeder. I live about a block from the health club on Pine, and I look out and there's a pileated woodpecker going away on our suet, and those things are big.
I know.
And and then underneath it, there were about 25 quail.
Oh.
You know, just picking up the, you know, I've got some birds that are real pigs, you know, and they will throw out.
They
just,
all are,
You know, and, but the quail come along and I love to see them scratch the ground, you know, and that was just great fun. You know, 6 feet above them is this pileated woodpecker, you know, just having a ball, and then underneath them. So part of the magic of you with your cows, we got lots of activity in our backyard.
Let's talk about the hive as I reply to some technical issues here that sounds like we're having.
Cool.
Let's talk. Not to worry about. I think we're fine. Mac Dybel, you are the general manager of the hive. I mentioned already that Winter Carnival's coming up. What are you doing over at the hive during the next? Particularly like during the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no, you know, Winter Carnival is a really fun time, and we've been on board since we, you know, took the hive over, going on almost 3 years now. You know, this is a fun time, 3-day weekend this weekend. I believe when Winter Carnival was making its resurgence, when the chamber moved it to February, I was actually at the chamber at the time as a communications manager. And it's also Seattle, supposedly, and I don't know exactly why or how, but they have a Seattle winter break week for many of the schools in Seattle. Uh-huh. So it's another good reason for people to come visit our town this week of the year.
Definitely.
So I've got, tonight I've got line dancing lessons, which is most every Thursday, unless I have something going on, like private party wise or, you know, emergency in the family, but pretty much every Thursday line dancing lessons. This Friday, we've got the Hogwire Band. They're a country band that rocks, and they play anything from Cheap Trick to Tim McGraw. They are really fun. Three longtime locals, but the Lynn Scott brothers, Mark and Matt Lynn Scott, they've been here forever, the Lynn Scott family. And then Ian Newbill, who was down in L.A., did a bunch in the music scene down there, then came home, went to school here. They're a power trio, and they're fantastic. That's Friday night. Doors at 7. There's actually line dancing lessons from 7:30 to 8:30, and then they go on at about 8:45. They'll rock until about 11:45. It's only $5 to get in lessons if you want to do the lessons, or $10 to the instructor. And it's a really fun time. You get to, she always does it to the songs, or she tries her best to get with the bands to say, hey, what songs are you playing? And then she teaches you two dances that you can do.
So prep you for the, cool.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And then, I want to say this is our second year. I was going to say, I think there was three, but no, the first year we had them in May. Paper Flowers, which is remembering Fleetwood Mac, a really cool interactive experience, Fleetwood Mac tribute band on Saturday. And tickets are almost sold out. We do have a couple handfuls left. I'm expecting it to sell out by Saturday. So don't wait. It's, you know, the difference, you know, what I got to tell people is, you know, the hive is built as a music venue, more like a club, whereas the Panda is more like a theater and has seats. So I do warn people, you know, it is going to be quite busy. There won't be a lot of seating, but you're going to have plenty of room. Well, you're going to have room to dance. And that's kind of what the vibe we go for. I try to put as much seating out as possible to fit in the big enough crowd where everybody can still join us. So it's a balancing act that I do. So I do want to let people know, don't necessarily expect to find a seat, but if you do come early and you try your best, you know, there's a chance, and people are really friendly in this town. So if you need a place to sit, you know, they get up and go dance, grab a chair for a minute. If they come back, you know, be polite, you know, just work together. If you need a place to sit, there's almost always a place to sit when you need it, but not everybody's going to get a chance to sit at that show. It's going to be fun and busy.
They've been here before.
Is like their fourth trip in, yeah. I think. They've sold a lot of tickets to every show, lots of repeat customers. It's a really neat show. You know, it's fun to be able to get out and experience music that you listen to as a kid, as younger, and you have all these great memories with, and you get to come in and have a shared experience with everybody else, kind of living those moments in that atmosphere.
They play the Grateful Dead, or sorry, not the Grateful Dead, they play Fleetwood Mac music.
Yep.
Do they do kind of the kind of band where they each like take on a sort of a character? Is there like a Stevie Nicks person?
They have those kind of roles. I think, you know, I don't think they share necessarily like Stevie Nicks, but they might a little bit. But there's not like a person that's like, I'm Stevie Nicks. You know, they might share a little bit, but yeah, they've got the people that kind of play their special roles in the band. Cool. They do a fantastic job. It's a lot of fun. Really proud of them. And it's a North Idaho band as well. They're from Coeur d'Alene, Cataldo. I think they're all from basically the greater Coeur d'Alene area. So it's really fun to see what they put together there. It was funny. First time Carrie told me that they were doing this, he said, oh, I got this little thing with my wife that we're doing. And I was like, okay, that sounds neat, Carrie. And then I saw these videos of what it was. And I was like, Carrie, that's not a little thing with your wife. Well, no, you're right. It's not just my wife. I was like, you guys got a full band. It's got awesome production. Because I saw a video. I was like, I want you guys to come to the Hive. He goes, oh, I don't think we're ready for that. I was like, I think you are. It looks fabulous. Let's do it. And that was May of 2023. And it's been, they've had a pretty great rise since then. Lots of sold out shows and a lot of fun. And now they're going on a tour this summer. So I'm really proud of how far they've come with that band.
That's pretty cool.
That's the 15th?
That is Saturday the 15th.
This Saturday.
Yeah. Get your tickets now.
I was just trying to think mentally, you know, when you mentioned who the audience would be for the Fleetwood Mac. I think, you know, Rumors was about 77. So that means that if you were a Fleetwood Mac fan, you'd be about in your 50s.
Yep. and we see the audience, you know, a lot of, we did it last year on Valentine's Day too, or Valentine's weekend. And, you know, a lot of moms coming with their kids as well.
Could imagine.
So it's
grandkids.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Multi-generational. There probably was that. And we are considering bringing them back, for a more seated atmosphere as well. It's something that I've been working on. I always put out as many seats as I possibly can. We're looking at doing some seated shows a little bit more often, and how that looks, so we can bring in people.
That would be interesting with the venue, the layout of the venue. When I think of the Hive, I think of dancing.
Yeah, right. Totally.
You know, I think of dancing. If you want to sit, go out on the curb.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when we took the place over, there was almost no seats in the entire house. You know, that was kind of the way that they operated it. It was, you know, they had 150 really beautiful padded seats, but they were for more speaking engagements or perhaps comedy and some other things like that. But they didn't do seating for shows. So I promise you, I try my best to provide as much seating as possibly can. And there's a lot more than there was, but it's something that we're looking at. And probably the next time they come will be a seated show at a very limited capacity. And maybe that just means we bring them in two nights in a row and we do some limited capacity.
Something like like that.
Yeah. So
what does the seating capacity of the balcony?
Sure. It's, you know, it depends on how comfortable or friendly you want to get with everybody, you know, how socked in you get. But, you know, for seating in the balcony, there's only about 75 to 50 for seating, but you know, upstairs you can have about 100 to 150. Yeah. And those all go by reservations that I do by email. You email me
right.
VIP@livefromthehive.com and we work with you. And sadly, some of these really fun shows, the VIP gets snatched up two, three.
Real quick.
Yeah. It's amazing for some of those shows. Other shows, you can almost, you know, you can walk in the night of and there's usually one or two left. But for these ones, it pains me because I literally respond to tons of emails saying, I'm so sorry, we were reserved and I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And, but I reply to them with a lot of the same comments. You know, if you arrive early, I do have first come, first serve seating. And if not, come a little bit maybe later so you don't have to stand as long, and just get your butt on the dance floor and get to dancing.
Amen.
And then next weekend I'm really excited bringing in New Jack City. They've been to Sandpoint. They're, they're no strangers, but it's the first time they've been at the Hive. So I think it's probably been the first time they've been in Sandpoint since they sold the Panda out in 2019.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic. Motown Review. Tons of great hits that we all know. Their showmanship is, I think, at a bar very few can get to. Max Daniels is fantastic as their leader. I think it's his sister that's also one of the lead singers as well. I mean, again, you go on and you see their promotional material with their videos and everything. They are so much fun. So I'm excited. I remember seeing them at Oktoberfest. I believe we brought them in for Oktoberfest many moons ago, and they were so much fun. And I know Schweitzer's brought them in, and it's been probably 5 years, 6 years since they've been in Sandpoint. Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to, you know, we need to get these great bands out of the Coeur d'Alene Spokane area and bring them back up to our community.
Absolutely. Before I go much farther, Mac, if one wants to get tickets, or where does one go?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for asking, Jim. Livefromthehive.com. And then if you click on the events calendar, you can go down there, see what everything we have on the calendar for the next 3-4 months. And then you can click on the event and it takes you right over to our ticketing partner, which is Eventbrite. You can also go directly to Eventbrite, search Sandpoint, see all the great events we have going on in our community, and find all those special ones going out the Hive. That's where we do all of our ticketing. It's really slick, goes on your phone. If you want to download an app and have it all on your phone, you can. If you want it printed, you can also print them. I believe it sends you an email link to print your tickets. And worst case scenario, just give me a call and we can help out with the technology. It's really not too bad. But I understand people not wanting more apps, not wanting more things. So I'm happy to help.
Well, you're talking to someone here who is not very knowledgeable about that, but I've done it before with the ticketing, and it's slick.
I think I've seen you in there before. Yep. So
even I figured it out. That's Live from the Hive, all crammed together.
Yep.
And it doesn't make any difference if there's capital letters.
Nope.
Just livefromthehive.com.
Yeah.
And then you can go through and see the upcoming events as well as purchase tickets. Easy schmeezy.
I almost forgot, this Sunday, we're hosting a fundraiser, the first film festival since we've been ownership as well. So it's the International Wildlife Film Festival, and it's a fundraiser for a group of students going down to the Dominican Republic to work on coral reef restoration. It is a $20 suggested donation at the door. Give what you can. If you can handle a little bit more, they would certainly appreciate it. These kids are trying to go down there and do some good in the world and keep our coral reef alive in the Caribbean, and it's going to be really fun. Doors are at 6:15 for that one. I'll probably get them open at 6, and that one will be seated. It'll all be downstairs. We'll have about 150 plus chairs out, so it will be somewhat limited capacity, and we'd love to have you. That's Sunday night. It's really fun. I bought a brand new projector for these films. Cool. Yeah, we have these screens, four screens up top, and they're big, but you're also up top and you've got to look up. I've got a new screen. Technically, it's an old screen of the Hives, but it's new to me. It's the first time I've set it up. And so perfect viewing height, and then this beautiful brand new projector that is super bright, and it's really, really fun. So excited to see what the kids do for that. And then last but not least, for Winter Carnival, Devin Wade Band, my good friend Devin Wade, Sandpoint Local. That's Saturday, February 22nd. Same thing with Hogwire, line dancing at 7:30 to 8:30, show at 8:45. Devin Wade is a lot of fun, really great guy, a good friend of mine. We've been producing, you know, or getting him into McDuff's Beer Hall for years and years. And now it was like, you know, I want to see more of your band. So let's bring him to the Hive now. And he still does solo stuff in town, but he brings his full band to the Hive. It's a lot of good times.
Particularly with the band, I think. Yeah, that's a fun show. Exciting that you're putting on a film festival.
Yeah.
It should be. That'll be, I'm sure, a fun experience, a new experience for you
and
the Hive crew. By the way, if you're interested in hearing more about that, we had I think we had John Hastings come in on Tuesday to talk, and he was talking about what they're doing there with our old friend Phil Huff. So you can go back and listen to the podcast of that show just from earlier this week.
Fun fact: John and I went to the same high school in Minnesota.
Really?
I know. Crazy.
Where did Small you guys go? Small world.
Jack's a Minnesotan.
I am a Minnesotan, yeah.
I think I knew that, but I forgot about that.
Last time. I forget. Yeah, I don't know. Where'd you get? What high school?
Yeah, Osseo Senior High, which is a northwest suburb of the Twin Cities. And they told me, and again, I repeat facts as if I don't know the fact, but I was told something. So don't hold me to it. But I believe Osseo was the first trading post in Minnesota. So kind of an old historical town that got gobbled up by in these bigger areas, you know, it's, you just keep driving and you're like, oh, we're in another town. Oh, we're in another town. Mm-hmm. And Osseo is the small corner of four towns, in a sense, basically boundaries of a communities. And, it's a cool little town with great history.
Yeah. Osseo, Minnesota. Yeah,
I know. Small world.
Indeed. Yes. The Hive, I see that. Preston Andrews? Is that who's out here?
Preston Andrews is outside, and he's going to come in next. But we're not done talking. We're not about done. The Hive.
What are we? What else? If you got any other big highlights?
There's so much more. There's one really fun show that I can't say who the band is yet. But let's just say this is one of the bigger headliners that we've brought in this iteration of the Hive. There's a cool music festival in Missoula. Not that I'm here to promote other festivals, but we were able to pull a band that was traveling through in Missoula, Montana, or Whitefish, Montana, this summer. They're coming here the night before their show in Whitefish. So that'll get announced, I'm assuming, in the next couple of weeks. But I keep asking, when can we tell everybody about this really special show? It'll be it's a alt-country, roots, rock. They're really fun. Almost bluegrass, but not quite. I'm really excited about that one. But, to be announced at a later time. But we're bringing in Snacks at Midnight Friday, February 28th. They're coming in with Butte, Montana's Desperate Electric. They are so much fun. That's a husband-wife duo. Snacks at Midnight is an alt-rock group out of Spokane that just crushes. You know, we've seen them at the 219 a ton of times. It's nice to put them in the Hive, where they got the big stage, the killer sound system, and let these kids just rip. So super stoked to have them there. We're actually hosting the Follies with Angels Over Sandpoint. Had a unique time with their production crew, and just maybe wanting to reinvent the show a little bit, and not having quite enough time to do so. So they're gonna bring back an old tried and true dance, an Angels Over Sandpoint / Follies dance. That's March 8th. We've got our best friends RFB playing the show, and the Follies band. So that'll be a lot of fun. Really excited for that. I'm hosting the Sandpoint High School Sadie's Hawkins dance in March as well. So I'm so excited. I have so much fun for the kids, and I'm glad they're going to be there. We've got two more rock shows in March. Yak Attack is coming with a funk. Yak Attack's a trio that's more psychedelic, electronic, cool rock. And then they're bringing in a funk band, an 8-piece funk band from Seattle called Citrus. And I believe they've played I forget what the new name for the festival is, but old name was Jerry Fest. Yep. And then
Summerfest.
Yes. Yep. Thank you. So I believe they've played Summerfest before. So I was told, and I'm really excited for that show. And then Blistered Earth, which is a Metallica tribute, and they're from Spokane, and they're actually kind of known because of Metallica bought them brand new gear after somebody stole all their gear. And these,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. So they know Metallica. They have pictures with Metallica. They've met Metallica. And they are fantastic. They're great. They rock. That's in March as well. And we're working on a few fun things for the end of the ski season. Get ready to, you know, just pay attention to our calendar. There's a lot of really neat stuff coming up for April and May. Not everything's announced yet, but they will be announced soon. And you're trying to bring in variation of music so that way everybody gets to come experience the Hive. You know, we're not just a one-stop shop for this and that. It's all the above, a little bit of everything as much as I possibly can.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, or are you? You're listening to a streaming, that's for sure. You're possibly listening to the podcast, and I guess we're getting some static over the air right now. So I might step into the other room and try to address that when Preston comes in. But we're still streaming. We're still
electric.
We're still here. Yeah. We're talking to Mac Dybul of the Hive, and thanks for talking with us this morning, Mac.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
Do we have come back in March?
I would love to.
Okay. It seems like the Hive is just, you know, bringing in lots of good acts that need to be seen and heard.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, yeah. What before? Is there any more you can tell us about what the Follies thing is going to be like? Because that's a change, and that's a new event.
I don't know. For the most part, it's going to be a dance with music. Yeah. The Queen of Ireland is hosting it. So great live music for about 3 hours, I believe. I believe it's going to be 8 to 11, doors at 7. VIP's already sold out for that. Paula Marcinko with Angels Over Sandpoints handled the VIP. It's a fundraiser for the Angels. If we pack this place out, they have an opportunity to make as much as they made in two nights of the Follies without as much stress and production cost and production labor.
Yeah.
So let's pack this place out for them and let's raise some money. I believe this is the big fundraiser for the Backpacks program.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So this is important. So come out and enjoy it. There could be some smaller acts, one or two, but I don't know how many. And it's going to be primarily focused on just getting out and boogie. Even the acts that they may do and the skits they may do will be focused, I think, around music. And you'll see Kate up on stage as the Queen of Ireland. She'll be hamming it up with the boys. RFB's gone through a little bit of a, you know, growth spurt here in the last few months. They've added Jesse Bennett on vocals, and Liam McCoy has been playing guitar with them for off and on for the last year, mostly on. They might even bring in some horns. You never know. RFB's having a lot of fun, and they're excited. They love the big stage when they can get up there and expand and bring in some more people. So you never know who else could show up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, the Angels did these dances for years, so it's not necessarily new. It's kind of bringing back the old thing and something we could do with them a little bit more often and have more longevity for raising funds for the Angels.
Yeah. Yes, an important task.
Absolutely.
Mac.
And the Angels.
Go ahead.
You know, one cool thing about the Angels, not that I'm an expert, but I believe they have like $0 overhead.
It all goes towards
100%.
You know, whatever the cause is,
right back into the community. You know, fantastic. Not every day you hear that.
No, that is true. We've got another person waiting in the wings, Mac. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And what we're going to do, Jack? How about let's put in the next two songs, and that'll give you enough time to work
see what's going on.
Yeah, okay. On this date, 59 years ago, so this is pre-Mac and pre-Jack, I assume. Okay, the Rolling Stones did their third appearance on Ed Sullivan's show, and they did three songs. We're going to play two of them back-to-back so that Jack will have a chance to find out what is happening.
Fix this radio station of ours.
Fix this thing of ours, please. Here are the Rolling Stones from 15... This is not The recording of what they did, but these are the two songs of the three that they did. 19th Nervous Breakdown and Can't Get No Satisfaction. The Rolling Stones here on 88.5 KRFY. On this date, 59 years ago in 1966, this was their third appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And they did these two songs as well as another one. And so Jack could not fix whatever it was, so he's going to have to slip out and go out to our tower. In the meantime, I have Preston Andrews with me. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning, Jim.
How do you like the cold?
Well, if it's not windy, I'm okay with it, but the wind really bites through the clothing.
I don't care exactly how bundled up you are. Preston is the Vice President and Programs Coordinator for the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society.
That's correct, yes. I have been doing programs for Kinnickinnick for 6 years now, all through COVID.
Okay, and as I always ask other representatives from the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, do you have a favorite native plant?
Oh, my. Oh, I'd have to say, well, Kinnickinnick is pretty high up there.
Okay.
But I love my Western Red Cedars, too.
Okay. What I'd do is I'd give you a desert island sort of thing, you know, that if you could only take one plant with you on your desert island, what would it be?
Oh, my. Oh, something edible. Please. Oh,
smart. Okay, good job. Preston here is, as part of his role with the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, he's programs coordinator, and he's going to be talking about the upcoming programs in February and the next 4 months or 5 months ahead.
Right. Well, we started our programs back way back in 1997. With Valley Novak was giving the first program. And we have monthly programs on topics related to native plants and the habitats that they reside in. We have 9 programs a year, which is a lot to fill out, so I have to dig deep for that. And so we have January through June, and then September, October, and November. And they're free and open to the public. They're usually in that large meeting room at the library. Sometimes we meet at Community Hall. And co-sponsored by the East Bonner County Library District and the Sandpoint Parks and Recreation.
When you have a different change in venue, where does one go to find that out?
Well, it'll be on our website. It'll certainly be on Sandpoint Online. It will be usually in the Reader and the Bee, our Facebook page.
Just have to pay attention.
Everywhere we broadcast that.
Okay, now real quickly, you mentioned the website. What's the URL?
Okay, it's www.nativeplantsociety.org. We were lucky to get that that moniker for our website. I imagine it's coveted by other native plant societies.
Well, and I imagine it's coveted by your group as well, because you don't want to have the person typing in Kinnickinnick.
Yes, we've gone through that spelling business before.
I learned how to spell it.
Yeah.
K-I-N-N-I-C-K.
Correct.
You know, you duplicate the first 5 letters, and then you add C-K on the end.
That's correct.
Ta-da. Yeah. But you don't need that to get to the website. The website, one more time, is?
It's nativeplantsociety.org.
Okay, and it's all squished together, and you don't need capital letters.
No capital letters needed.
Perfect. Okay, so go there if they decide to change it from the library to?
to Community Hall as our normal, our other usual meeting place. But we do have a program coming up in June that won't be at either of those. But I can cover that later.
Yeah. Okay.
So you want to jump right into the programs?
Oh,
what we're coming
yes.
up? Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's what you're here for.
That's right. Okay. So this Saturday, that's the Saturday coming up, it's going to be at the library. And the title of it is Urban Pocket Prairies, Setting the Stage for Large-Scale Palouse Prairie Restoration. And it's going to be given by Chris Duke of the Phoenix Conservancy, which is located in Pullman, Washington. And since I've been doing this for 6 years times 954, essentially 50 or so, I have to dig deep to find speakers. And this one I found through an article in High Country News.
Oh, interesting.
And so I contacted Chris, and he was very eager to come up to Sandpoint. He'll be here Saturday. And so the Phoenix Conservancy...
I was going to ask you, what is that?
Well, you know, the Phoenix rises out of the ashes. So
exactly.
What this conservancy does is they work on restoring the most degraded ecosystems in the world. And one of those degraded ecosystems is the Palouse Prairie.
Oh,
there's
okay,
very okay. little, maybe a few percent of the original Palouse Prairie left. Most of it is wheat, lentils, you know, canola, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, of course, agriculture and development have caused that. So they're working to produce or put these pocket prairies in town, in small urban lots, restore the flowering plants. Because if you've been down on the Palouse, and I lived there for 30-some years, if you've been down on the Palouse, it is a beautiful landscape, even with the wheat fields blowing, you know,
definitely
in the wind. But it was once covered with flowering plants.
Native plants.
Flowering native plants. And it must have been just gorgeous. I would have loved to have seen that, but that was centuries ago. Anyway,
right.
They are restoring these, what they call pocket prairies, in people's lots in Pullman. The other thing that the Phoenix Conservancy is working, they're working in the American prairies, because that's a degraded ecosystem, and also internationally in Madagascar. So they're pretty widespread. So this is going to be an interesting program.
Okay, one more time. When in February?
It's going to be February, what is it, the 15th is coming up on...
That's Saturday.
Yep, Saturday.
Saturday at the library?
At the library. We start the program at 10 a.m. All our programs start at 10 a.m., but we have a social half hour at 9:30 with coffee, tea, treats, and just visiting with people.
Perfect. So when you get into the library, take a hard left.
That's correct. You don't have to go into the doors.
Indoors at all.
It's actually closed. You know, the library's closed at that time.
And how long will the talk last?
Usually they last 40 minutes to an hour.
Okay, so...
With question and answer.
So pretty much you'll be out by about 11:15 or thereabouts.
Correct. That's correct.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, that is this Saturday, February 15th, at the library at 9:30 for a half hour of socializing, and then 10 o'clock is the program. Okay, what's next?
So... we also have members, many members that have quite a bit of skill with the plants and various other aspects of habitats in our local area that are great at presenting programs for us. And so our March 15th program is going to be, it's entitled Designing Landscapes Using Native Plants, presented by Gail Bolin, who is a long-term KNPS member, once was our president, and she's currently the chair of the Landscape Committee. And she has a business called Earthwise Northwest, an ecological landscape design company. And she's going to talk about what is a native plant, what are the benefits of using them in home landscapes, and what are some of the basic landscape design principles to use in planting native plants in your garden.
Cool.
So that's March.
Okay, that's March. And this has been, she has been a longtime member of KNPS?
KNPS.
Whoa.
Correct.
I could do that without saying knickknick. Okay. And that is on March?
March 15th. It's also a Saturday. It's at the library again. Yep.
The Ides of March.
The Ides of March, yes. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And that'll be at the library. Same time?
Same time. Yeah. Everything, yeah. All our meetings are at the same time.
Okay. That's 9:30, socialize, half hour. 10 o'clock program begins, and depends upon how long the question and answers go. You can pretty well be into your Saturday by about 11:15.
Right. Go out and get coffee. And
perfect.
Yeah. Oh, we have coffee, too.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, they have coffee. Go out and have lunch.
You can go get more coffee.
You guys don't serve lunch, do you?
No, we don't serve lunch.
Okay. And so that's March?
That's
April.
April. Now, April's going to be a little bit different because, what is it? Easter weekend. There's a lot going on.
I haven't checked that far.
That is, and our speaker is going to be Phil Huff.
Ah, okay.
Yes, Phil Huff.
Friends of Scotchman Peaks.
Yes, and he's going to be talking about... The title is 20 Years of Working for Wilderness. And you know well, he's been working for the Scotsman's Peak for all these years. And he's a KNPS board member as well. And so he's going to be updating us on the current status, all the volunteer efforts that go into keeping those trails open, keeping people safe, keeping the mountain goats, safe, and the winter tracks program that they're doing, I think, currently is underway with the school kids.
Okay.
And so he's going to be talking about that. Now, the timing on that, it's the fourth Saturday, not the third Saturday. So it's going to be April 26th. And the library wasn't available, so we're going to be at Sandpoint Community Hall for that program.
Okay. Saturday the 20th. And, when you're talking about that, when I think of native plants, I think of what, when you talk about the Palouse and what grows down there. But I'm sure high up in the mountains, the native plants are different.
Oh my, yes.
What a wide range of growing things that are just fabulous, I bet.
Yes, I think we're so fortunate living in the Inland Northwest that we have these ecosystems like the Palouse nearby and like our high alpine country nearby and the lake and all the riparian zones. And
what kind of zones?
Riparian. Riparian means that it's by the water, the creeks or by the lakes.
Can you spell it for
me? R-I-P-A-R-I-A-N, riparian.
I never heard that.
It's a wonderful word.
It is. Thank you. Okay. A riparian zone of or near the water.
Yes. Okay. There's aquatic, and then just next to it is the riparian.
So mushy.
Mushy, yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Wonderful. I mean, then would my precious huckleberries be up in the alpine zone?
Well, they're usually not quite alpine, but they're up,
they're up high.
Up higher, yeah, subalpine, and also even a little below that, of course.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
You move up as the growing season, as they get riper.
Right.
You start low and progress upward. Okay, and that is Phil Huff in April. And spring should be hitting.
Yeah, it should be beautiful, yeah. So that'll be at Community Hall.
And 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Same time.
Perfect.
We meet at the same time. We have the same treats. Everything's the same.
New old treats. You don't keep
They're new treats every...
every month.
Yeah, right. And the coffee is fresh.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay. We move on to May. May 17th will be at the library, and the title of that is Collaborative Approach to Restoring Forest Health and Fire Regimes. And this is going to be presented by Adam Gebauer. I don't know if I'm saying that quite right. He's a wildlife and plant ecologist, 25 years in that field. And he's the Public Lands Program Director for the Lands Council, which is a Spokane-based nonprofit whose mission is to preserve and revitalize Inland Northwest forests, water, and wildlife through advocacy, education, effective action, and community engagement.
Okay.
So he wrote an article in the Inlander. This is how
I learned about Adam.
I read his article in the Inlander, and he talked about indigenous uses of fire and how valuable that was to restoring forest health. And this is basically what he's going to be talking about. Is the approaches that we can take to make our forests healthier and safer from catastrophic wildfires.
And that's something that, that when I think of a forest fire, I think of how devastating it is, but it's part of the ecosystem and the necessity. I'm very ignorant about it, but to see it as an opportunity rather than as a devastation zone.
Well, it was, Native peoples have, in the Americas, have been burning forests for, and prairies for for millennia. And they knew the ecosystem well,
yep.
And they knew how to manage
it. They knew what to do.
Yeah, they knew how to manage it. And we're trying to learn from their knowledge and, apply it to improving forest health.
Perfect.
And that, I think that's what Adam will be talking about.
And now, will this be back at the library or at the community hall?
This will be back at the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So only the one?
April.
April at community hall.
Okay.
And these will all be announced. So,
good.
You know, there'll be
good.
Various.
Perfect. Well, it's nice to have an overview, the arc of the different programs.
Yes.
Excellent.
Now, June 21st is a little different.
That seems so far away.
It does. I have to plan out a ways, to make sure, I've got people lined up to come.
Absolutely.
So we have an annual grant program called the Lois White Grant, which applications are due the 28th of this month. So anyone interested in, getting funded to support native plants, and you have to read about the requirements online and stuff at our website. Put in an application for it.
And that's at nativeplantsociety.com.
.org.
.org. .org. That's right. That's okay. Now it's singular plant. Native Plant Society.
Native Plant. Yeah.
Plantsociety.org.
Correct.
To find out all the information about this grant. And the deadline date is?
Is the 28th.
Okay.
And, it's easy. It's a short application. It's all online. It's an online form, so you don't have to mail anything in. You just fill out the form with the required information and submit.
Perfect.
Yeah. And anyway, so what are we doing in June on the 21st? Is the last year's recipient was Kent Youngdahl at University of Idaho Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center. That grant was to develop a native plant demonstration garden. So native plants are planted there in trial demonstration area.
Okay.
And so they'll be blooming, or someone will be blooming in June.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And Kent is going to give us a tour.
Excellent.
A tour of that garden.
Okay.
Plus two other gardens that they are establishing this year. Or one is a beneficial insect garden, which is going to be a mix of native plant, native-based wildflowers and grasses that attract a wide array of beneficial insects. So that will be something he will also show us, as well as an herb garden that they're planting.
Oh, excellent. So native herbs.
I don't know if they're native. I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll find out. But I'm
come June,
yeah.
And you'll find out all about it. Excellent.
And so that's going to be out, and the specifics for that are still being worked out in terms of the timing and everything, because we're going to be outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So that's about as far as out as you've got.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. We've got ideas for, the fall, but we haven't pinned anybody down for those. The other thing I should say is when the pandemic came, we did our programs all on Zoom. They were all remote. And since then, we have continued using Zoom for what are called hybrid programs, which means there's in-person audience and then a Zoom audience.
Right.
And then some of those we've recorded and put on our YouTube channel.
Okay.
Connecticut Native Plant Society's YouTube channel. And so you can view those that are available. And then, but we don't have Zoom for every program, and we don't record every one that we do have Zoom for.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
So we're booked through June.
Yes.
And we'll have to have you back again when you get July, August, September, and all those other months.
We won't have July and August because we don't do summer. We take a break because we do most of our volunteer work in the Arboretum during the summer.
Okay. Preston from the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, thank you very much. And for any information on these programs, February, March, April, May, and June, you can go to nativeplantsociety.org.
That's right.
Excellent. And speaking of the library, I do want to say we're winding down towards the 9 o'clock hour. Tonight, Let's Talk About It book discussion series, starting at 5:30 p.m., An American Sunrise by Joy Hargill. And that will be conducted by Stacy Miller. And so that's tonight at the library. And there's lots of events happening this weekend, beginning kicking off with the Winter Carnival tomorrow, plus Valentine's Day. Have a safe and stay warm, right?
That's right, yeah.
That's very important. Okay, thank you so much for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY, and coming up at 9 o'clock, Bird Note here on your community radio station.